The original script for the film The Universe of Myron Evans. At the dawn of the 21st century, the ideas of physics, or natural philosophy, came across confidently on TV screens, like the march of coal miners going to work on cobblestones in the darkness before early light, the only light they saw. One cannot stop the march of ideas, as Victor Hugo would have it. After, and by the year 2000, didn't we have the most advanced society in human history? Despite the terrible and primitive wars of the previous century, during which Europe did its best to tear itself to pieces, and the rest of the world with it. Nature was firmly in human hands. Technology and science ruled okay, and anyone who challenged this was an automatic outcast. Nothing changes in human nature. Such was exactly the mindset at the dawn of the 20th century, when classical physics was the ruler. Anyone who challenged Newton's ordered world must be mad or subversive. Yet, between the years 1887 and 1930, that confident classical world was shattered. By 1930, the Newtonian physics was a small corner of the new relativity and quantum mechanics, which are household names today. This was the march of ideas. The universality of thought led to the acceptance of concepts which in 1887 would have been consigned to the asylum. Time that dilated, length that contracted, the ordered motion of particles of Newtonian times replaced by the wave-particle dualism of great inherent mystery. Time and space fused together in an inexplicable, outrageous way. These ideas were held together and accepted at all because they were supposedly tested against nature. And the latter revealed its inner workings in a way that was unprecedented in the entire history of human thought. Things in 1930 were stranger than could be imagined. These ideas became the basis of many technologies. So must be right. Mustn't they? All was not right in this world of 20th century physics. The various parts could not come together. The center could not hold, as Yeats put it. A unified description of nature would not emerge. There was the precision of special relativity, tested to unimaginable accuracy, and the indeterminacy of quantum mechanics, where things were absolutely unknowable. These were starkly opposite philosophies which schismed physics throughout the 20th century in interminable debate and counter-debate. What you see on your TV screens is only a part of the scientific truth. Slowly, from 1930 onwards, the philosophy of nature was undermined by the subconscious acceptance of ideas of the human mind, which could not be tested against the measuring stick of nature. In the words of Francis Bacon, many idols of the cave emerged. These had exotic and impressive sounding names, so must be right. Mustn't they? There were strings, superstrings, black holes, Big Bang, acausality, indeterminacy, principles of uncertainty, dark matter, strange particles, and quarks taken from James Joyce. A plethora emerged of purely mathematical abstraction, workings of the human mind, but not of nature. The subject of natural philosophy or physics, which should be simple and easy to understand, became saturated with tremendous obscurity and complexity. Ideas that are so strange that sometimes only their instigators read them with any understanding. These came across confidently marching on TV screens, came across as the absolute one and unchallengeable truth. Gradually, physics withered on the bough, turned to bone, ossified as a subject, became immersed in dogma, became intolerant and censorious, talked to itself in public on TV screens, lurid with abstraction like cosmic cartoons. Around the year 2003, it was realized that nature could be described much more simply using a variation on the theme of relativity and using a more powerful kind of geometry than that used at the turn of the 20th century, about 100 years earlier. The idea of relativity is simple. The natural world must be described insofar as possible without the distortion of the human mind. There must be no idols or fantasies of the human cave in nature. The aim of objectivity can be achieved in one way, by using geometry. This is an idea that goes back to the dawn of humanity itself, and to the early human mind, geometry was beauty. The Parthenon was built with a deliberate flaw so as not to offend the gods. No human construct could be perfectly geometrical and perfectly beautiful. That was the domain of the gods. It was realized in the years 2003 and to the present that all physics can be described by geometry. The subjects of relativity and quantum mechanics were unified, and the absurd ideas of indeterminacy rejected. The idea that something is inherently unknowable was discarded in favor of the older physics, that an event has a cause, and the way in which things work can be figured out by the human mind. The incomprehensible 20th century dogma that marched on TV screens was dispensed with in favor of a simpler truth. Every equation of physics was found from geometry, using only one basic idea or hypothesis. The different fundamental force fields of nature were found to originate in a common source, from which great rivers of nature flow. Electromagnetism was unified with gravitation. The former is the spinning of space-time, and the latter is the curving of space-time. Nature is indeed beautiful. Nature is indeed simple. It is the human mind that suffers from perennial demons of obscurity. This new theory was named the Einstein-Cartan-Evans, ECE, theory. Einstein's was the imaginative mind that brought general relativity into being about 100 years ago. Cartan worked out a powerful geometry for relativity, upon which Evans unified physics in 2003. The theory has caused turmoil in the ordered world of standard physics, the world you see on your TV screens, the world of absolute and ossified truth. This film is about the emergence of the ECE theory and the challenge it poses to the high priesthood of the 20th century, where organized religion was superseded by organized science. There are no more than 1,000 people who can understand general relativity, in a world of several thousand million. Less than 1 in 1,000,000 understand the language of the scientific thought elite. In theology, it proved convenient to preach in Latin, which the mysteries and dogma of which people could not understand. Nothing changes in human nature, but ideas always do. The ECE theory shows that TV screens of today are as dogmatic as medieval vestments, because ECE has been meticulously tested against nature, and it is able to understand nature in a far simpler way than the monstrously complex ideas of the preceding century. Similarly, Kepler dispensed with the complexity of epicycles, replacing them with three planetary laws from which the great Newtonian synthesis emerged. The medieval world of priestly spheres was overthrown by objectivity. Let Newton be, and all was light. Well, at least up to 1930. Then it was a new dawn, which, as the day marched on, became a storm cloud of darkness again. Some of us fooled ourselves into thinking that we knew all about it. In this film, different viewpoints on the ECE theory are given by some of the people who played a leading role in its emergence. The standard physics was carried kicking and screaming into a new age, The ECE theory is quite similar in analogy to the Newtonian theory, in that it can be used for engineering, it can be used to try and find new forms of energy in an energy-hungry world. Who would use superstrings to build a new electric motor? In other words, strings and superstrings are empty of meaning. They exist not in nature, but only in the human mind. Real theories of physics can be used by chemists and engineers. The first to give his views are Myron Evans, then Horst Eckhart, followed by Stephen Crothers and other distinguished thinkers such as Kerry Pendergast. A short history of Big Bang. The way that the universe works has always captured the imagination of humankind from earliest times. In medieval times, the stars were thought to be a fixed firmament organized by a deity. So the center of this universe was obviously our world, the Earth. The sun revolved around the fixed Earth, which was obviously flat. This picture changed dramatically in the 16th and 17th centuries due to the ideas of those such as Copernicus, Galileo, Kepler, Newton, and many others. This change came about very carefully. Because of the prevalent power of the church, it was dangerous to criticize too openly. To sailors, such as Columbus, the earth was obviously curved. The masts of ships disappeared below the horizon after a while, and it gradually became clear one could sail all around the world and back again without falling off the flat earth. Even so, it was still not a good idea to challenge authority. Copernicus's outrageous idea that the earth revolved around the sun gradually became accepted because of everyday experience and measurement in astronomy. Galileo produced the first telescopes and began to understand the laws by which nature worked. Kepler found that the orbit of Mars was an ellipse and not a circle as taught by doctrine. In 1665, a young Cambridge student called Isaac Newton realized that the force between two objects varies as the inverse square of the distance between them. This law, known as the inverse square law, neatly explained Kepler's earlier planetary laws, which he had found from observation. The attraction of the moon to the earth and the earth to the sun and that of the apocryphal apple could all be explained in the same way. Universal gravitation. This picture held good until experiments at the end of the 19th century began to give some strange results. The Newtonian view was no longer feasible. This happens in science, which is a kind of continuous evolution and change in thought. Towards the beginning of the 20th century, a theory emerged which rested on the idea that physics is an objective subject, the theory of relativity. This was developed by many scientists, notably Heaviside, Voigt, Fitzgerald, Lorentz, Poincaré, Einstein, Minkowski, and others. Relativity is based on the relative motion of frames of reference. At first, special relativity was developed, in which one frame moves at a constant velocity with respect to another. Due to Einstein and others, the theory of general relativity was developed into the Einstein-Hilbert field equation in 1915. This equation made the entirely revolutionary claim that physics could be found from geometry, that the workings of nature are governed by the laws of geometry. This is not the age-old geometry of Euclid, but a kind of curved geometry due to Riemann in the early 19th century. A few years after the EH equation appeared, Hubble began to make measurements which found that light seemed to be shifted towards a lower frequency in a systematic way when distant objects are studied through a telescope and spectrometer. This began to be known as the redshift, and was interpreted to indicate that distant objects seemed to be moving away from the Earth. The further away, the faster they seemed to be moving. So it seemed that the whole universe was expanding at an increasing rate. In the 20s, Friedman, Lemaître, Robertson and Walker solved the EH equation to give solutions that seemed to give the same picture theoretically, that of an expanding universe. It was never considered that there may be several other explanations for the redshift by using optical arguments. Later, in the mid-40s, Hoyle developed the idea that the universe is continuous, with no beginning and no end. And it was Hoyle who put the name Big Bang to the idea of an expanding universe. By 1930, Einstein, like Hoyle, had rejected Big Bang as absurd. The EH equation was already in trouble by 1918 when flaws in it were pointed out by Bauer and Schrödinger. No notice was taken of these criticisms, and Eddington, in the early 20s, claimed to have verified the EH equation using light bending by the sun. Again, though, we now know that Eddington had nowhere near the precision needed to make his claim. For a long time in the mid-20th century, the subject of general relativity was quiet, because it was difficult, and only a few hundred people in the world could really understand it. Einstein was sidelined by the younger generation of the Copenhagen School of Quantum Mechanics. In the 40s and 50s, however, the subject began to gather momentum due to the work of scientists such as Hoyle, Bondi, Wheeler, and Vigier. Hoyle developed his theory of nucleosynthesis and became a famous figure. In this theory of the evolution of stars, Hoyle did not use the idea of an expanding universe at all, and coined the term Big Bang in derision. He was saying that the idea is absurd. In the 60s, however, a new generation of scientists, notably the mathematicians Hawking and Penrose, took a contrary view to Hoyle and claimed to have proven mathematically that the universe must have started in a state of infinite density and zero volume. To any physicist, however, this claim is absurd and is now known to be incorrect mathematically through the work of AIAS, the Alpha Institute for Advanced Study. This idea of Big Bang originates in a solution of the EH equation known as the Robertson-Walker metric. This absurdity became the prevalent view even though Einstein had rejected it himself, and even though it was known by 1918 that the EH equation itself had deep flaws within it. This is a recipe for disaster in physics. The flaws in the EH equation have been pointed out repeatedly for 90 years, notably by the Nobel laureate Schrödinger and Dirac, and by the pioneer of tensor algebra, Levi Civita. The debate over Big Bang between Hoyle and Hawking and Penrose seemed to result in an acceptance of Big Bang so that it gradually became dogma towards the end of the 20th century. Hoyle resigned in disgust from his chair in Cambridge to get away from the time-wasting academic politics and aggravation. However, Hoyle and many others have produced conclusive arguments against Big Bang. There are many experimental data that clearly refute Big Bang, even on a Wikipedia site controlled by the small dogmatic faction of physics known as the Standard Model. The universe is a big place, and it's not clear that the human mind will be able to understand it. Big Bang is certainly not the answer. Unfortunately, due to lack of understanding, physics as a subject began to balloon out of control towards the end of the 20th century and became a plethora of absurd ideas which cannot be tested against data. There are far too many loose ends in string theory, for example. Strings are twisted to fit an idea, not the real world of nature. Dark matter, for example, is just a stopgap measure used to fit data, in this case, data from the evolution of spiral galaxies. Dark matter does not come from any coherent philosophy. In particular, dark matter does not come from relativity. The danger is of slipping back into medieval times by accepting wild ideas about nature and not using the test of experimentation. This is as if the enlightenment of Bacon and Newton, for example, had never happened. In 2003, a new and powerful variation on the theme of relativity was devised by Evans and was named the Einstein-Cartan-Evans, or ECE, Unified Field Theory. This theory uses a more complete geometry than that due to Riemann, a geometry that was devised by the mathematician Cartan in the 20s, and which is actually well known. Evans used this geometry in new ways to give a coherent philosophy of nature. In 2007, the computer was used to reveal what had been suspected for 90 years, that the Einstein-Hilbert equation is incorrect due to its neglect of torsion of space-time. The torsion is the spinning of space-time, whereas Einstein considered only the curving of space-time. The ECE theory uses only four dimensions of space-time, so it's much simpler and much more powerful than string theory, which unfortunately uses a multitude of dimensions that have never been observed in nature. During these years, from 2003 to the present, Crothers showed that the methods used to infer the Hawking-Penrose singularities are incorrect at a fundamental level. So from several angles, it was found that Big Bang and dark matter do not exist, despite all the propaganda on TV. The way in which a spiral galaxy evolves, for example, can be found using torsion as a basic idea. So the maps of dark matter are maps of torsion, an idea which comes from a self-consistent philosophy of relativity. From 2003 to the present, the ECE theory has made a phenomenal impact on physics and throughout the world. This can be seen accurately from feedback software to the www.aias.us site of the Alpha Institute for Advanced Study. This has certainly not been to the liking of the small and dogmatic faction of standard physics, who have used very dubious methods to try to suppress the theory instead of accepting its advantages as they should. A new idea or paradigm such as ECE suddenly launches physics in a new direction. The great impact of ECE has been recognized by all except the standard faction. For example, Evans was awarded one of the highest honors of the British government in 2005, a civil list pension voted in by Parliament upon recommendation of the Prime Minister and the Royal Society. This was an honor unprecedented in over a century, and Evans joins an elite group of famous scientists. There have only been 12 of these appointed for work in physical sciences in British history, the others being Herschel, Ivory, Brown, Dalton, Faraday, Joule, Adams, Fairfax Somerville, Denning, and Heaviside. Evans' immediate predecessor, appointed in 1896, was the great physicist, mathematician, and engineer, Oliver Heaviside, the pioneer of modern electrodynamics. The ECE theory has unified the fundamental force fields of nature, gravitation, electromagnetism, and the nuclear force fields, and has also unified relativity with quantum mechanics by discarding the unscientific mysteries of Copenhagen indeterminacy. This is in line with the thinking of such scientists as Newton and Einstein, and with data, for example, those produced by the Crocker Group. The reason for this amazing impact made by ECE on working scientists worldwide is the fact that it's been so meticulously prepared and tested against data, revealing numerous advantages over the standard physics of strings and all that. Additionally, ECE faces problems in the eye and does not dock them or wrap them up in abstraction, as does string theory. The latter has not predicted anything new in 40 years, whereas ECE has made several revolutionary advances in only 5 years. The fact that string theory cannot even be tested threatens the foundations of physics itself. There are many problems in the standard physics, notably the sudden and complete collapse of the Einstein-Hilbert equation in 2007. This is a terrible fiasco for standard physics, and has been coming for 90 years. In the area of cosmology, ECE theory comes down on the side of Einstein, Hoyle, and Crothers, three notable thinkers who reject Big Bang entirely. In fact, many scientists now reject Big Bang because anyone who really puts their mind to it can see that the theory is untenable, both experimentally and theoretically. In light of the 2007 collapse of the Einstein-Hilbert equation, the theory is complete nonsense. ECE has produced new cosmologies based on new methods of dynamics. There are so many advantages of ECE listed on www.aias.us that it is impossible and intellectually dishonest to adhere to the dogma of the standard model, and indeed it would be unscientific to do so. ECE has given a simple theorem of orbits to explain all known orbits with high precision, has given a rigorously relativistic explanation of the evolution of spiral galaxies, for example, replacing ad hoc dark matter by geometrical torsion. There are by now several able and sincere scientists who have a grasp of the technicalities of ECE theory. And there are already networks of engineers who use the theory daily to devise new energy and new propulsion devices. None of this is possible with string theory and dark matter, showing the meaninglessness of standard physics. To explore the universe now, the ECE equations must be used, not the self-destructed Einstein-Hilbert equation known to be wrong for 90 years. Only the most blinkered dogmatists would have adhered for such a long time to something which is known to be wrong. Big Bang is therefore rejected and obsolete.